true story. Something that started many years ago was in the early 1800s. There was a missionary from Africa who went to his home church in northern Scotland. And he visited this church on his furlough. He went to the little church there in Scotland. It was, I understand, a cold winter night, and there weren't many people there. And most of the people that were there were elderly. And he was a little confused because he really felt like God had put this message in his heart to make a call for those who would be willing to follow him and be missionaries in Africa. And so he looked around the congregation and he thought, none of these folks are able, they're never going to be able to do what I think God's called me to speak about. And yet he gave his message. And at the conclusion of the message, he simply said, "Who will go? Who will go?" And to his surprise, there was a young boy that, and again, this is early 1800s. So this young boy was in the back behind the organ, and his job was to pump the bellows on the organ, okay? And he came out and he said, "I'll go, I'll go." That young man's name was David Livingston. And so he came to the missionary and he said, "You know, what do you think I need to do? How do I prepare?" And he looked at the young man and he said, "You know, this is what I think you need to do. You need to go to medical school, become a doctor, and then come to Africa." And that young man decided that very night to do that. And he went in the year of 1841. David Livingston left for Africa. And some of you have heard of him and read about him and how God used him mightily in the continent of Africa and a number of the different countries as he not only preached the gospel, but also brought medical science to bear in those communities. Now, here the story even gets better. On his return back, I'm getting in front of myself here. As they were praying, he and his team were praying about reaching a certain group, a tribe in Africa, and these people were known to be pretty violent. They were praying, and they got word that this tribe had decided to attack their mission compound. And so, of course, they were praying urgently that God would protect them, but also at the same time they were praying that somehow the gospel would penetrate into that tribe. Well, as it turned out, they never were attacked by that tribe. But a couple of years later, he had an opportunity to actually meet the chief of that tribe. And he shared the gospel with him, and the chief became a Christian. The chief then shared with some of his tribe, and there were a number of people that came to faith in Christ. But David Livingston, as he got to know this chief a little better, he said, "You know, we had heard that you were going to attack us." He said, why is that true?" And he said, "Yes, it is true." "Well, why didn't you?" And he said, "Oh, you didn't know?" And he said, "Know what?" He said, "Well, the night a group of us came and we were going to attack the mission compound, there were 39 soldiers stationed around your compound." And he said, we realized they were there. They had guns. We couldn't attack because you were protected. Livingston said, well, those, I don't know who they were. And he said, well, they were there. Sometime later, Livingston went back to Scotland and he was sharing that story with his home church. And that particular church had kept very meticulous records. And the leader of that church said, well, when was that? And they went back and he gave them the date. He knew exactly when it was. And they went back and looked into the record of the church. That night, they had a prayer meeting. How many people do you think were at the prayer meeting? 39 people were at that prayer meeting. Now, why do I share that? So here's the message that I believe God's given me for you today. Living and fighting in two realms. Living and fighting in two realms. You see, we serve an invisible God, but we live in this very visible realm. And yet, I think, struggle with, okay, is there really an invisible realm? If there is, how do we tap into that? How do we understand that? How do we learn how to live in that realm as well as in this visible realm? 1 Timothy 1:17 says this, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I think it's significant that the Apostle Paul, in writing to his son in the gospel, he gives us a definition of God in the form of a statement of worship. And he says of God there that God is eternal, he's immortal, and he's invisible. I think that the reason that many people down through the history of mankind have tried to form some kind of idol or a graven image is that there's a desire in us, human beings, to somehow make the invisible God visible. And yet the second of the Ten Commandments is crystal clear that we're not to make any kind of a graven image, any kind of an idol, that we're not, as human beings, that we're not to in any way attempt to make with our human hands the invisible God visible. So how is it that we can worship this God that is invisible? I want to give you 3 points today, okay? My first point is simply this. Through Christ, the invisible God has been made visible. I loved, by the way, and that's a new song to me, the last song you guys did this morning. But it fits with exactly what I want to say in my message here. And that is that Jesus Christ made the invisible God visible, okay? Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Starting in verse 15, it says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before God made anything at all and is supreme over all creation. Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and earth. He made the things that we can see and the things that we can't see. Christ makes the invisible God visible. The Bible teaches us that God, he robed himself in flesh. He was born as a baby there in Bethlehem. And so the eternal, immortal, invisible God took on this form of human flesh. And as that song talks about, he knows suffering. He understands what it's like to struggle in this life. He bled like any one of us bleed if you cut him. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. If you want to know what God thinks is important, I would say study the life of Jesus Christ. Look at what he thought. Look at what he taught, okay? Now, when we study the life of Jesus, one thing we discover is that he seems to be very comfortable in both the realm of the visible, this natural world, this world that we can touch and see and smell, but he was also very comfortable in the invisible, or if you will, the supernatural. He was comfortable in the natural. He was comfortable in the supernatural. And I believe that God wants us to also become comfortable, more comfortable in that realm of the invisible. And I want to talk about that next, because God created us in his image. Amen. My second point is this: God created both the visible and the invisible realms. And he created us to function in both of those realms. When God created us, he created us in God's image. Okay. We know that in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, that Adam and Eve had a very close relationship with the Lord. It says they walked with him. They communicated with him. There was a close personal relationship. But once sin entered in, that relationship was broken. And that's when it became difficult, very difficult, for man to really relate to the Lord. And in fact, we find that Adam and Eve, after their sin, they actually hid. They were afraid. They became fearful of God. Now, we know that when Jesus came, and what the New Testament clearly teaches us is that through his death, his burial, his resurrection, Jesus Christ paid the price or the penalty for our forgiveness. He opened the door for us to receive the new birth, to receive forgiveness, and we know that he opened that door for us to have eternal life. But he also, and I think this is important for us to understand, he also opened the door for us to begin to be open to the supernatural realm, to become comfortable not only in the natural, but also in the supernatural. Now, some of you might say, well, I don't know, that sounds a little spooky to me. What do you mean by that? This is what I mean. The writer of Hebrews says that it's through faith that we have a relationship with the Lord. Let's look at Hebrews 11 for a minute. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. See, although we're more comfortable with the visible realm, I believe as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, we're able to hear his voice, okay? as I look around here today and I think, okay, I can see a building full of people that have come, have gathered together to worship the Lord. A church, Christ Community Church, that has a 50-year history. But do you know how this church started? Do you know how every church started? There was some person. In this case, it was John and Phyllis Nordstrom that were praying and asking, God, what do you want us to do with our life? And they felt the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, move to Ottawa. Start a church. That was an act of faith. They were functioning in the invisible realm. They were functioning by faith. And everything we see around us here today, including the chairs you sit on and the beautiful building and the sound and all of that, it started with a man and a woman who prayed and said, Lord, what is it you want me to do? They heard from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, does God just talk to these super saints like John and Phyllis? No. He speaks to every one of us. Amen. And he's speaking constantly. The question is, are you willing to listen? And some of you might say, well, I'm not sure. I'm more comfortable just kind of operating in the natural realm. I'm not sure I want to get into this supernatural realm. But all of us were created not just to function in the natural realm, but I believe also in the supernatural realm. And that brings me to my third and final point today, and that is this. Our faith battle is primarily fought in the invisible realm. What do I mean by that? Paul, in his, again, writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. If you have made that confession of faith, then you're in the faith journey, and a part of the faith journey involves a fight, a battle, because there's constant pressure on all of us to undermine and destroy and disrupt our faith. Hey, those of you that have been following Christ for many years, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Those of you that maybe have just started recently, maybe you haven't encountered it to any great extent yet, but mark my word, you will. Okay? And so there will be things that will come against you that will undermine your faith, but you need to take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. When it comes to this faith fight, some don't want to admit that we're really in a battle. It's like, don't tell me that. I don't want to be scared, okay? But the fact is, we are. Now, Paul writes to the believers in Ephesians, and he puts it this way. He says, for we're not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in heavenly realms. We are in a battle. My brothers and sisters, we need to realize it. We're living in a very polarized culture. And I know that's not a surprise to you. It seems that there are so many forces that want to keep us divided and honestly keep us angry with one another. Some would say it's a racial problem or a gender problem or a generational problem or an economic problem between the haves and the have-nots or a political problem between the liberals and the conservatives. Others would say, well, it's primarily, it's the social media that we're dealing with and all the algorithms that are designed to keep us upset and angry about this and that or whatever and keep us angry with one another. And I'm not saying that those aren't, they are real problems. And I'm not saying that those things don't need to be addressed. But the scripture teaches us that the primary problem is a spiritual problem. It really is. And it is a battle with the powers of darkness. It's a battle, we're in a battle with the forces of evil. I mean, that is the battle. It's not against flesh and blood. Our battle isn't with one another, brothers and sisters. Our battle is with the evil forces that are arrayed against us. And we need to learn how to do battle in the supernatural. We really do. We need the power of God's Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of you might feel overwhelmed by the strength of the enemy. Some maybe even have lost hope. If that is where you're at, I pray that God today would open your eyes. Ephesians 1 says this in verse 17 and 18. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. I pray today that your eyes might be opened. Amen. He has given us the Holy Spirit. And if you're in a situation where you're feeling overwhelmed, I would urge you to pray, Holy Spirit, give me more of your strength. Give me insight. Give me wisdom. Help me to understand how to fight this battle. He loves you, and he will give you exactly what you need to overcome every power, every dark spirit that comes against you. Amen. In closing, I want to share just something from the Old Testament. This is from the book of 2 Kings. It's an interesting story. It talks about the prophet Elisha and how that there was the king of Aram was coming against, he was fighting against the Israelite people. And he would plan these attacks, but God would speak to the prophet Elisha and show Elisha what the enemy was about to do. Elisha would then tell the king of Israel, and the king of Israel would then be prepared ahead of time before the attack comes. Now, the king, King Aram, he gets really upset. He's like, he's sure that there must be somebody in his inner circle that's leaking the information out to the king of Israel. And so he gathers his officials, his lieutenants together. He's like, who's leaking the information? And they say, none of us. But one of the officers speaks up and he goes, you know, but I've heard there's a prophet named Elisha. And God speaks to him and shows him ahead of time. And so this king of Aram, he gathers his army together and he goes, we're going to take that guy out. Now, Elisha is living in this little village called Dothan. And he sends his army, his chariots, and they camp around that little village, and they're gonna wipe out the prophet of God. Now I'm gonna pick it up here in 2 Kings chapter 6 and just read a few verses of what happens. It says, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. This is what Elisha says. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around. Now, when I read that, it kind of reminds me of that story that I shared at the beginning from the 1800s. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we pray, we have no idea how that prayer is being answered. Many, many times I have prayed, and I couldn't see with my human eyes. But afterwards, I heard reports. I saw the evidence. I saw how God had worked in those situations. Right now, there might be some of you that you've been praying and praying and praying about things, and you can't see any evidence. I pray today that God will open your eyes and that you might begin to see. Amen. There's another whole realm. I believe the scriptures teach us there are angels, there are demons, but greater is he who is in us, the scripture says, than he who is in the world. And so I pray today that the eyes of your heart would be open and that you begin to believe God. And that your ears would be open, that you begin to hear when the Holy Spirit is speaking. Amen. Amen. The worship team is going to lead us in this closing song, but then we're going to give you an opportunity to receive prayer. I just feel today that there are some here who you've been praying and praying and praying and praying about something, and you just haven't seen any results. And it's just like the enemy has really been trying to undermine your faith. And I believe God is saying to you today, I have heard those prayers, and I am at work. Amen.